In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, I'm going to read an article I wrote for a publication called The Spiritual Sword. The editor of this publication asked me to write this article. It is about the prayers of Paul. This issue of The Spiritual Sword was issue number, volume 55, number 3, and it was sent out in April of 2024. The theme of the issue is the power of prayer. And the articles in this, I'll just read these articles off to you. It is called Pray Without Ceasing, The Prayer Life of Jesus, Teach Us to Pray, Prayer That Avails, Larimore's Sermon on a Prayer from the Cross, Attitudes in Prayer, McGarvey's Sermon on Prayer, Leading Public Prayer, Effective Private Prayer, Family Prayer, Help from the Spirit, The Prayers of Paul, Is the Sinner's Prayer Biblical, and Conditions of Answered Prayer. This is a publication you may want to receive in your home. I'm going to give you this address if you want to write it down and you can receive this publication. The address is The Spiritual Sword, Post Office Box 241925, Memphis, Tennessee. Now, you will have to pay for this publication. The subscription prices are $12 per year, but it is a very nice publication to have, and I would recommend that you subscribe to it. Let me read to you the article that I was asked to write about the prayers of Paul. Paul was praying in Damascus. This is the first we read of his prayers. He had continued in the house of Judas for 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink, Acts 9 and verse 9. We know that the Lord heard that sinner's prayer, for he said to Ananias, Behold, he prayeth. The Lord sent Ananias to tell Paul what he must do, Acts 9 and verse 6. Ananias did not come to pray with Paul. He did not tell Paul to pray harder or to pray through. He did not give Paul a formula of words to say about accepting Jesus into his heart. Ananias did not tell Paul to pray. He told him to obey. Ananias said, Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. We do not know the substance of Paul's prayer in Damascus. But if Paul had been trying to call upon the name of the Lord by prayer, he now knew to call upon the name of the Lord by baptism. And he did so without delay, Acts 9 and verse 18. Many today are taught to pray a sinner's prayer, but they need to be told to be baptized. Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, Paul has prayers in the book of Acts, and he continued to be a man of prayer after his baptism. He was praying in the temple when the Lord told him to leave Jerusalem and go to the Gentiles. He was with the prophets and teachers in Antioch when they prayed before he left on his first missionary journey, Acts 13:3. On that journey he prayed when he ordained elders in every church, Acts 14:23. He sought out those who prayed in Philippi, Acts 16:13, and returned to pray with them, Acts 16:16. At midnight he and Silas were heard praying from an inner Philippian prison, Acts 16:25. He prayed with the elders from Ephesus before departing from Miletus, Acts 20 and verse 36, and with women and children on a shore near Tyre, Acts 21 and verse 5. on the deck of a storm-tossed ship, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. On an island of barbarous people, he prayed for the father of Publius, who lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, and he healed him. Acts 28 in verse 8. When brethren from Rome came to Paul at the Appii Forum and three taverns, Paul thanked God and took courage. Acts 28 and verse 15. These 12 prayers of Paul in Acts should be noted for their variety. Paul had a prayer for every occasion. He would have been able to sing with us. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And there's always a blessing in prayer. Luke's account leaves us confident that there must have been other prayers. Paul prayed are not written in this book. The conclusion is confirmed by Paul's correspondence. The epistles of Paul are graced with prayer. I want to read the rest of this article because we're going to go to Paul's epistles and see what he said about his prayers in those epistles. Now, I may not get to complete this before this class period is over, so I want to pause here and remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me return to this article about the prayers of Paul and look at prayers in Paul's epistles. Paul opened his first epistle to the Thessalonians, writing, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, and labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sight of God in our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4. To appreciate how the saints in Thessalonica would have received this, think how you would have been encouraged to have learned that Paul had been praying for you. He wrote to them further, saying, "What thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 through 13. In his second epistle to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Wherefore, also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness in the work with faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Thessalonians 1, 3, and verses 11 through 12. We learn to pray public prayers by hearing others pray. We should also learn from Paul and pattern our prayers after his. From Ephesus, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And though that church had many problems, Paul wrote, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 7. Paul saw the good in his immature and carnal brethren, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. He loved them, and he knew the Spirit could mature them in Christ through the spiritual words in his letter, 1 Corinthians 3:13. In a follow-up epistle, he taught them to be thankful for spiritual blessings. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4. Near the end of his letter, he wrote, "I pray to God that you do no evil, that you should do that which is honest." 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. Paul spent that winter in Corinth. From there he wrote to the church at Rome and said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Romans 1, verses 8 through 10. In this epistle, he told the Romans how he was thankful to have been delivered from the body of this death by Jesus Christ, Romans 7, 24 through 25. And he told them, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved," Romans 10 and verse 1. Paul invited the saints in Rome to strive together with me in your prayers, Romans 15 and verse 30. As the book of Acts closes with Paul awaiting trial in Rome, while under guard, Paul wrote the letters we call his prison epistles. To the churches of Ephesus and Asia he wrote, "After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. My grandmother had a needlepoint sign in her house that said, "Ask God's blessings on your work, but do not ask him to do it." Paul followed his prayer in this epistle with this epistle. These words would give them the wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Christ for which he prayed. This is how the eyes of their understanding would be opened, and how they would know the hope of his calling. Consider also Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith."